Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who comforts us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia and amen. So today we continue our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus as we hear Jesus call himself the Good Shepherd. And he tells us exactly why he is the Good Shepherd. He is good because he's not a hired hand, a hireling. Because the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand sees the sheep in danger and he leaves the sheep to die. The hired hand is more concerned about his own safety and his own well-being than that of the sheep. Jesus is not a hired hand. He is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And even though he is the shepherd, he treats the sheep and their life and their well-being as more precious than his own. He dies for such unworthy and unimportant animals because he is the Good Shepherd. God dies for sinful people like you and me. And this is why we can definitely call him good. His sacrificial love for his sheep defines the word good. His act of dying for sinners is so good that now there is nothing good apart from it. Nothing good, holy, worthy, or acceptable to God in man apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus exists. If Jesus does not die and rise, there is no justification, no one is good, all is left to sin and corruption and death. There's nothing we could call good apart from Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In Mark chapter 10, the rich young man calls out to Jesus and says, "Good Jesus," he asks them what he must do to inherit eternal life. "Good teacher, what must I do?" And Jesus responds by saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And here Jesus is making an important point. No person can say they are good. This young man asked what goodness he could attain to inherit eternal life from God, and Jesus responds with the law that condemns him, the law that he fails to keep. That's why Jesus says no one is good except him. He is the Good Shepherd. He is goodness incarnate. And he has come into this world to call and gather for himself a good flock. He has only wicked sheep to choose from, though. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is nothing that the wicked flocks of this world can do to cease their wickedness. We read in Romans 3, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." And so, you'll never see a sheep bettering his condition. You never see a flock of sheep leading and protecting itself. You never see a flock of sheep understanding where danger is and heading the opposite direction. They must be brought to safe and predictive and protected pastures by their good shepherd. And we the sheep need our shepherd. As Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You see, the sheep are bound and doomed to die. Because sheep are foolish animals. Sheep are really, really stupid. They are herd animals with no survival skills and terrible instincts. They do not know what is good for them. They do not know what is safe for them. If a sheep is lost, it will hunker down and it will stay there until it is rescued or it dies. That's all it will do. They will run in the wrong direction into danger if the rest of the flock is moving in that direction. They will not think twice about what they're running into. And that's what sin is. Sin makes us stupid. Sin is something that kills and destroys, and yet what do? We run into it. We like it. When we see that it's hurting us, what do? We hunker down in it. We're helpless when it comes to our wickedness. We do not have the ability to redeem ourselves from what destroys us. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and his goodness is handed down to his sheep as he gives us what we cannot attain for ourselves. As the sheep of the flock become like their shepherd, it's because he has called them and they have heard his voice. As Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Being part of the Good Shepherd's flock means hearing Jesus and trusting in his voice. It is hearing his word and believing it to be good and true. Jesus does not speak to his flock empty words. He feeds them, he defends them, he shelters them. His word is the word of life. And he does this, he feeds them by speaking. His sheep hear his voice. And they abandon the wild flocks of this world, and they follow him. Hearing and believing in his voice is what makes his sheep good. As the Bible says, the righteous shall live by faith alone, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Jesus calls out the flocks of this world through the preaching of his word. That is how his sheep hears his voice. Christ calls men into the ministry so that sinners would hear his voice, believe it, and be saved. In Romans 10, we read, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so then God calls and sends out preachers of his word, and we call these men pastor. The word pastor simply means shepherd. They are to speak, act, and care for the good shepherd's sheep. When they speak, they're not using their own voice. They're not speaking their own words. They are not doing their own will, but they are speaking on behalf of and acting on behalf of the good shepherd. As we heard the pastor say just a minute ago, he acts in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors are to preach the pure and beautiful word of Jesus. You are not to hear Jacob's voice. You are to hear Jesus' voice. Yet we know the pastors are sinful men. They fail, they falter, they are weak. They too are also sheep of the flock, and they must hearken to the voice of their good shepherd. They need their sins to be forgiven as well. They need to be fed and led by the good shepherd. And we see example of what happens when shepherds ignore their good shepherd. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, we have some strong words spoken against the shepherds of Israel. As God commands Ezekiel to prophesy, saying, right before our Old Testament reading, "Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed my sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." The sheep were not cared for, and the shepherds of Israel, they were living in comfort. They made their living off the sheep, and they lived a pretty good life. And all the while, though, the sheep were wandering and lost. As we see throughout the book and the time leading up to Ezekiel, there were no faithful left in Israel and Judah. They were not being called back from their idolatry. They were not being hearkened to believe in the Lord their God. They were not hearing the Good Shepherd's voice. And this happens all too often in the modern church as pastors become lackadaisical in their calling. They become comfortable collecting a paycheck from the congregation, but they simply do not care for the sheep. They let the congregation do whatever it wants so that the sheep wander into whatever danger there is. They do not warn the sinners concerning their sins. They do not comfort the afflicted. They do not visit the sick. They do not call on the wayward. And damage is done, and sheep are lost. We see what happened to Israel in the Old Testament as God's people had fallen so deeply into their idolatry that the temple of the Lord had been filled with idols. They were sacrificing their children to Molech. They worshiped the host and stars of heaven. They defiled themselves with the sensual and frankly perverse worship of Baal and Asherah. And the scriptures say that God's people had become more wicked and idolatrous than the nations of the world. And we see this happening today as we see Christians defend the horrible act of abortion, as they stand firm in sexual promiscuity and covetousness, as they rejoice in the worship of mammon and money and possessions and every sort of other sin. And this is because the voice of the Good Shepherd becomes silent in the hearts of the sheep. And the preachers are more concerned with being palatable and loved by the sheep than they are about loving their Good Shepherd so that the sheep hear the voice. They do not preach the fullness of the Word of God, and the sheep seek comfort in the peril of the flocks of this world, and they're destroyed. It should never be so. Lord, have mercy. But we see in our Old Testament reading today that God does not abandon his flock. As we read in Ezekiel that even as the called shepherds have failed, God says, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out." As a shepherd seeks out his own flock when he is among his sheep that have scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of cloud and thick darkness. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them in justice. And we see this is what God does. He ultimately does this in the coming of Jesus into the world, as he comes to be the Good Shepherd. He feeds his flock in justice. And he does this by laying down his life for his sheep. As we read in Isaiah, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." The Good Shepherd comes to save his flock by dying for it. This is the love that God has for his stupid sheep. And this is the truth that we must understand about our Good Shepherd. We follow him. We hear his voice. And as we hear his voice, we are being led on the very path that he himself tread upon before us. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We follow Jesus. And ultimately, this is good for us. It's the path of love, grace, faith, and ultimately, salvation. It is the path that leads to the right hand of the Father in paradise, and that is good. And as we walk it, we also remember that we will travel through the valley of the shadow of death. Just as we remember in Psalm 23, Jesus bore his cross, breathed his last. He was placed in a tomb. It is a path of humility, pain, and sorrow. Yet we should never fear to tread on this hallowed ground, as we follow after our Lord. We follow Jesus, which means that we will face suffering, sorrow, and hatred in this evil world. Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, because you are not of this world. I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we read in Psalm 23, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our good shepherd, and being our good shepherd, in bearing his cross and laying down his life for his sheep, should make us bold as we live in the flock of God. Because we will certainly bear our crosses in following him. We will not do what the flocks of this world do. We will not go to where the flocks of this world go. The flocks of this world will despise us for it. But understand this, where the flocks of the world are going to leads to death. Our good shepherd is leading us through the valley of the shadow of death into the pleasant pasture of eternal life. As we concluded Psalm 23 this morning, as we conclude with Psalm 23, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is because the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's a wonderful comfort. Even if we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we can be certain that the goodness and mercy of God are with us. And that must give you confidence. It should make you wise and bold as a sheep of the pasture of Christ, as we see this reality play out for Peter in the resurrection. We see what happened with Peter as he failed. Remember from the passion of Jesus that Peter, who had said, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. Well, did he? We know he did not lay down his life for Jesus that night. He denied Jesus three times. He fled from his shepherd when things looked bad. He rejected him when it meant saving his own skin. But after Jesus dies and rises, Jesus restores Peter, and Jesus asks Peter the same question three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And for each denial that Peter gave of his Lord Christ, Peter now confesses, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And this good confession of St. Peter flows from the love of the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He's not left in fear or despair over his sin, but he is reconciled to Jesus through his death and his resurrection. Peter's sin and his denial of Jesus was terrible. Think of that betrayal. Imagine your dearest friend in his darkest hour and you cry out, I don't know him. Yet through the death of Jesus, Peter's sin is forgiven. God reconciles himself to Peter. And this is what reconciles us to God as well. As St. Paul says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So even if our sin would alienate us from Jesus, our good shepherd says, no, you cannot be alienated from me. You cannot be scattered from me. Your sin cannot drive you from my flock. I have paid the price of your sins against me. I have laid down my life for my dear sheep. I have become your sin, and in me your sin has died. Be comforted. I know you've strayed from me, but now I have restored you to my flock. Follow me. Hear my voice. I have called you, and you are mine. And for Peter, this meant everything. First, he's restored to his calling. As Peter was called to be a witness of the resurrection, he was called to be an apostle of Christ. Every time Peter answered Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus responded with, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And this is always a sign of a faithful pastor, as his feeding of the sheep is always bound up with his love for the good shepherd. A faithful pastor will always love Jesus more than he loves the sheep. And his love and care for the sheep will always flow from his love for his shepherd. The reason we love each other is that Christ loved us first. The reason pastors preach the word is because they love the gospel that has saved them and the shepherd that has fed them. And they want to feed you with the good things that the shepherd has given them. And so it is for Peter. He can feed the flock of Christ because Christ has forgiven and restored him. And this fills Peter with the love of his Savior. But secondly, we see that Peter no longer fears treading in the valley of the shadow of death. It was fear that drove Peter to deny Christ. That fear, though now, gives way to joy and love because Jesus laid down his life for his sheep only to take it up again. Jesus lives. And so we see in the example of Peter that he's restored by Jesus, and we see Jesus tell Peter exactly how he's going to die. We see Jesus tell Peter that you will die like I did. He will follow Jesus in a death like his. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you to where you do not want to go." And this he said to him to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this to him, he said, "Follow me." Peter will be crucified for his confession of Christ. He will go to his cross in the same way that Christ went to his cross. And yet, as Jesus goes to the cross to save Peter, Peter is now free to go to his cross without fear. And why? Because he's following the good shepherd. And wherever his shepherd leads him will ultimately serve for his good. He gladly hears Jesus say the words, "Follow me," even as he's treading through the valley of the shadow of death. Follow your good shepherd. Hear his voice. Listen to the word that he preaches to you. Be fed on the good pastures where there is forgiveness for sinners. As the psalm says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Your shepherd sets a table for you today. You will eat. You will drink. You will be fed by your good shepherd with the gifts of eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, hope, comfort, joy. And as we leave today and depart from this table, continue to hear his voice and follow him. Even as you may travel through the valley of the shadow of death, know that he is with you. He lays down his life for his sheep. His death is for you. His life is for you. And he's leading you to where he is. He's leading you through death and the grave and to the eternal home of our Father. And this is good. And you can go to these good places because your good shepherd has made you good, as he's forgiven your sins. And so hear the shepherd say, "Follow me," because it's good for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to hear the voice of Christ. Allow us to live lives that are entirely set upon following him. Feed us with the word of reconciliation, so that knowing that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, we may live confidently in repentance and true faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We rise.